aside from a house or a car specifically, what is the most expensive thing you own? Wendy?
A car.
Name an animal with three letters in its name.
Alligator. Name something that's better than being rich.
Poor.
Besides a bird, something in a birdcage.
Hamster.
Something that comes with a summer storm.
Snow.
Something Russia's famous for, Bob.
Russians.
Something a burglar would not want to see when he breaks into a house. Rob.
Naked grandma.
Reason you might stay indoors on a beautiful day.
Because it's raining?
Name something you might buy that could turn out to be phony.
Yeah, a horse.
Name a time that most people get up.
In the morning.
A time most people go to bed.
At night.
This is the 7 at 11 on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin.
All right, we may have another segment of us not doing a 7-Eleven and talking about a 7-Eleven. Because you know what's happening today at 3 o'clock, right?
3 o'clock today. Is that the Fever versus the Chicago Sky? Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese?
Yes, it is.
It's in front of me, so that helps.
Oh, nice. Both off to great starts in their WNBA careers.
No holds barred? My goodness. What is this, a wrestling match?
I mean, last time Angel Flagrant won, Caitlin.
She did bust her upside her head.
And as we get ready for this game, I think, you know, Angel's probably playing her best basketball of her WNBA career. And the Fever have been winning more games than they've been winning. You know, as they, you know, early in the year, they set the schedule to where Indiana was playing way too many games. And I feel like they were worn down. But they're actually back up in the playoff mix. And so right now, there's only 12 teams in the league, right? So they're going to expand up to 16. They only have 12 teams. Right now, these are the 8th and 9th teams. So they're fighting for the last playoff spot in the WNBA. Now, Caitlin is averaging more points. Angel's averaging more rebounds, and they pretty much kept the rivalry going. So that game's going on today at 3 o'clock on ESPN. But what I had for you prepared was the list of the 7 leading active scorers in the WNBA.
All right, I can try.
So the only thing is there's one, maybe two, but I don't know. Obviously, they've been around. They've been doing their thing. I don't know if we open this up or if we just see how you do.
Well, Orike Ogunbowale.
No.
What? She's not on the list?
She's number 15.
Oh, well then, I mean.
She's only played 171 games.
Oh,
she's
I thought you were talking about this season.
No,
you're talking about all time? Oh, all time?
No,
oh.
Active. Like active leading scorers.
Oh, yeah, Diana Taurasi.
Number one on the list. There you go.
I feel like Kelsey Plum's been in the league long enough to be on that list.
Kelsey Plum has been in the league long enough to be number 22 on the list.
Oh, well, then I
with 211 games played.
Well, I can't tell you because I feel like her and Brittany Griner are on the same time.
Brittany Griner's number 5 on the list.
Oh, is she really?
There you go. 291 games played.
I don't feel Sue Bird's not in the league anymore, is she?
No, no, no.
She retired. Candace Parker retired, so she wouldn't be on this list
correct. Either.
You know what? I'm just going to throw it out there because she's been balling nonstop. Oh, is Ella Deladon, did she retire too? Elena Deladon, did she retire? If she's not on the list,
she's not on a roster right now. I don't know if she officially retired. I'm not sure.
I feel like Breonna Stewart, she's been around a long time.
Breonna Stewart hasn't been around that long. She's played 240 games, but she's number 7 on the list.
Yeah, she's been putting up buckets.
She is number 7 on the list, yeah.
The problem is I don't know the old heads of the WNBA. Yeah. Like Fowles retired.
Sylvia Fowles.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the old heads of the WNBA, Craig. I'm trying to go through the teams in my head.
All right, so we got number 1, Diana Taurasi.
Who plays for the Connecticut Sun?
Oh, there is one on the list. I don't know her well. She went to Auburn. She's in her 14th year.
Oh, yeah. No idea. No idea.
Dawana Bonner.
No, I would never got it. But yeah. I've heard the name. Yeah, this is too hard, Craig.
Yeah, she averaged double digits for every year of her career, 14 years.
Good for her. I mean,
Diana Taurasi won. All right, number two, went to UConn.
Went to UConn as well?
First pick of the draft in 2010. She's on Atlanta.
Who plays for Atlanta? Atlanta Dream that went to UConn.
Tina Charles.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have remembered that.
Yeah. So Taurasi, Tina Charles, Dawana Bonner. Number four is on Seattle. Went to Stanford, was the number one pick in 2012.
Number one pick in 2012 out of Stanford.
Nika Ogumwike.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Okay, you got Brittany Griner, number five. Number six, also with the Storm, Seattle, number one pick overall in the draft out of Notre Dame. Little guard.
Oh, she's on my fantasy team. She scored that much?
She's on my fantasy team.
Oh, what's my girl name?
She averaged 25 a game last year.
Stop it. No, she didn't. She out there balling like that. What's the little black girl?
Yep. This year, she's only averaging 18 and a half for my fantasy team. That's why I'm about to lose this week.
Why can't I remember her name?
It's Jewel Lloyd.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of somebody else. Who's the girl I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
Who went to Notre Dame? The star?
Arike Ogunbowale?
Not Arike. No, the other one.
I don't know.
Come on now, Craig. You know what I'm talking about?
No, Jewel Lloyd.
The star. No, if you type in Notre Dame... The women's basketball star. Oh, what is her name? Craig is going to bother me.
How? All right. Notre Dame.
Skylar Diggins. She was a star.
So.
I was going to say, I didn't know she was balling like that. But
Skylar Diggins Smith, Notre Dame, pick three in the draft in 2013. She is number nine on the list.
Oh, she's getting old.
That's a good job out of you. All right. Well, there it is. You're 7-11. And a reminder for everyone, watch today on ESPN. It'll be fun. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese.
Do you think Caitlin Clark has elevated the game? Do you think all this hate towards us is right? You haven't addressed that yet.
No, I haven't.
There's a lot of disrespect towards Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up next. It is Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
What's this?
What is it? Giorgio Moroder? Moroder? I don't know. It's a song I heard while I was shopping at the store, and I was like, ooh. Okay, Google, what artist is this or what song is this?
Okay. Kyle's pulling music from the store. So, you mentioned, your exact question on Caitlin Clark was, has Caitlin Clark raised the game and what do I think of the beef she's getting or all that? I mean, it's really difficult to understand why Caitlin Clark has elevated the women's game so much.
What you said is difficult?
It's difficult to understand it.
Why?
Because there are players that have come before her who had similar careers and similar impacts. So then you think, okay, is part of what raised the game her rivalry with Angel Reese and the fact, and should Angel Reese be getting a little more credit maybe than she's getting on this because LSU beat Iowa last year and then this year, Iowa got him back, and South Carolina ends up winning the national championship. And I think the thing that's overrated on all of this is that I don't think the players are doing anything that different. I think it's just that people are watching the game who never watched the game before and want women's basketball to be for some reason different than other competitive sports. Because in any other competitive sport, Like, you'd be saying, oh, yeah, these are the best players in the world. And just because some rookie's coming in and just because some rookie's adding to the brand and all that, you're not expecting them to kowtow and praise the rookie, like, and be nicer to the rookie and not treat them the way they treat any other competitor. And if anything, be tougher on them because they're coming into the league with all sorts of hype. Like, do I think there'd be private planes in the WNBA if it weren't for Caitlin Clark? No.
No, you missing some words in front of that, no.
But I don't think the players should be treating her any different on the court as a result of that. But I still don't understand why that is the case. Like, I know the easy thing, like, oh, she's white and she's in a predominantly, you know, a black league. But, like, you know, Sabrina Ionescu came in 4 years ago.
Baller.
Similar, right? White guard, great shooter, like all that. So to me, I think it's too simple to try to put it as one thing. I think the game has continued to elevate and it's a better sport than it was before. I went to the Women's Final Four in 2007, sorry. And I was all excited. And these were the legends of the game now when you look back who were in that Final Four. And I got to meet and interview a bunch of them. And I was so excited to watch that Final Four. And then I actually watched the game and I was like, this game's kind of not that good, right? It just wasn't, it was a very uneven style of basketball. Whereas now, I think because of those players and because of those stars from a generation ago, it's just been a matter of people sampling the product. And it started with the Women's Final Four last year in 2023. And people liked what they saw. And then when they came back in 2024, it was even better, right? And we were talking about it on this show in a way we had never talked about it before. And it wasn't just those two teams, right? We were talking about USC. We were talking about South Carolina. We were talking about LSU and Iowa.
And South Carolina might have been the most, like, untalked about team for them to have an undefeated season. Everybody else, all the other stars were elevated in that Final Four.
Well, like you said, because they had the stars. But now, when you see Caitlin Clark getting flagrant fouls, either, you know, I guess both against Chicago.
Getting bust ups upside right. her head, Craig.
But the bust upside her head, that was just Angel Reese going for a block and hits her in the head. I mean, that's overrated. And Angel Reese is funny because she has a little of that Draymond. She has a little of that, like, where she's like, she can't just say, like, yeah, I hit her in the head. I know it's a flagrant one. You know, she's just like, you know, she's a competitor. And I think that's why this is good. But I don't think Caitlin Clark, like, and I think she's not responsible for what people are doing on social media in her name. But I think also where the way the country is now, right? Like, everything's got to become Democrats and Republicans. Everything's got to become, like, a social issue and all that, where we could just look at this and be like, wow, this is a time where normally we'd have nothing going on in sports. And now this league that's been here for 25 years may actually be consistent enough to have our attention and keep our attention. But I don't want the players who've been there doing their thing for 10 or 15 years to be like, oh, thank you, Caitlin. We were missing without you. They're like, we've been balling for the last 15 years and growing this league, right? Like, I don't want them to feel like they have to be, like, kissing Caitlin's butt. Like, they should be playing hard against her and all that. And I think they're respectful of her game. They appreciate her game. And she shows that she belongs in the league. She's backed up the idea that she should have been the number one pick. Angel Reese is competing. And Angel Reese, over the last, you know, 2 weeks, is showing that maybe she could be Rookie of the Year. And it's actually making the WNBA as interesting, if not more interesting, than college basketball was. So I think, for whatever reason, I think we thought that this was a college basketball phenomenon or a Caitlin Clark phenomenon. But I think this is allowing people to sample things enough to where this is going to be a WNBA absolutely transcendent moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, but I do want to say a lot of this is attributed to Caitlin Clark and her greatness, and it's in her greatness in a sense of being able to draw people. We were at Summerfest. We just talked about it, and one of the kids, I took a shot, and I was shooting a shot, and he said, when I was shooting a shot, I said, "Oh, I'm like Kobe MJ." He said, "You like Steph, right?" And yep. Why is Steph so intriguing? Not LeBron, right? Not Kevin Durant, who are, to me, the most two talented players of the last 15 years. It was Steph Curry. Why was it Steph Curry? Because Steph Curry is much must-see TV because of the way that he scores the basketball. When you're able to shoot the basketball from anywhere on the court, that is more entertaining than a lot of these dunks because people are absolutely in awe in the range and the confidence that you have to shoot the ball. And that's exactly what Caitlin Clark did. And so, of
but
course,
I also think, was it I think, following? I think Steph also, we can't underestimate the fact that Steph was relatable and Steph wasn't 6'8". Like it was almost like any of us could have been Steph, right?
Yeah, we tried hard.
And I think he he cut through black, white, Steph was like
the shooter.
Like we just all looked at Steph and like that. And I think Caitlin Clark, there's something to that with her also, where she was shooting from like so far out. And she was throwing the passes and she was doing everything. But it wasn't like, oh, she's dunking or doing something. Because most of the WNBA players that have been dominant had been bigs, which wasn't as interesting. I think that made it interesting. Now, again, I can't say why she resonated in a way that Sabrina Ionescu didn't. I don't know.
Because Sabrina wasn't pulling up like she was. And then on top of that, Iowa, that also played a role. I don't know if Sabrina's team when she was out west.
Oregon.
Okay. Did they make the Final Four? They may have made the Final Four. But it just seems like, you know, you have Iowa, Big Ten country. There's just a lot of things that elevated that. And I mean, she was cold, Craig. She was shooting from everywhere, pulling up from everywhere. And I think that right there just elevated the game in a sense of people wanted to see it. And then you had somebody else with Angel Reese who also had the personality to Bayou Barbie that was also able to kind of have that, you know, the clash of two great personalities that people were attracted to and attached to. So I think they both deserve a lot of credit for raising the game. And I think all the hate that Caitlin Clark gets is unwarranted because you can say, would they be flying private if it was, or flying, yeah, it's private. If it wasn't for Caitlin Clark, no, they wouldn't be flying private if it wasn't for Caitlin Clark. And no, they shouldn't be saying thank you, but I mean, they should welcome her to the game. But there's some of the inside hate that they have towards her and the outside hate that she gets. Simply because she out here hooping and balling. She deserves a lot of credit. LeBron James came into the league, and he was crowned the king right away when he came into the league, and Caitlin Clark is getting the same treatment.
So you ever, go to a club or a restaurant or somewhere, and you're like, oh, this is my spot, and I love it, and all that?
Yeah.
Right? And then it ever get more popular?
Yeah.
And then you're like,
I don't like it anymore.
Yeah, I don't like it anymore.
Too many people know about it.
Like, I think there's a little of that going on with the WNBA a little bit, where it's like some of, like, for all the positives, like, it's like people aren't mad at Caitlin, but they're mad at, like, some of the fans who are coming. And, like, because all of a sudden in their social media mentions, they're getting a bunch of, like, stuff that they never had to deal with before, right? So I think there's that balance, right, where they appreciate...
More money, more problems, Craig.
Where the players...
More money, more problems.
And the players haven't got the more money
yet.
Well,
it's coming, though.
But I think it will come, and I think Caitlin's going to have a huge impact. It's a lot of, like, the Tiger Woods resentment, right? When he got into the PGA Tour, you saw some of that, and players were definitely, like, not happy with it, but you know when they got really happy?
When them checks started being bigger.
When the PGA signed their new deal with CBS at the time, and then all those purses were going up, and then players were making a lot more money. So that's when all of a sudden that guy, that kid at the time, who they felt like was getting all a little extra attention because the color of his skin, which is the way I'm sure.
Oh, wow, they thought it was the color of skin, not his game?
No, they said he's got game, but the color of his skin is a factor.
As it should be.
The same way in the WNBA, I think a lot of these women are thinking, oh, this kid's coming in, and
little white girl,
she's getting a little extra attention because of the color of her skin. I think the most similar comparison to all of this that you could actually find is in the Tiger Woods story than any of the other stories people are bringing up.
That's powerful. Because
that's what I think with Caitlin Clark, what we're seeing here.
Caitlin Clark is Tiger Woods. I got the title.
Yep. Now, can she be as transcendent of an actual player as Tiger? I mean, that would be wild, right? The second best player seen of all time. From what we've seen of Caitlin, she's already really competitive this early. So maybe. I don't know enough to say she can't be based on what we've seen. I can tell you, you got to be excited. Check her out today, 3 o'clock, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark. It is Indiana Fever, Chicago Sky, coming up on ESPN. All right, we'll segue back out of the WNBA and back into some of the excitement of last night. I can't believe you tried to say I'm grumpy old.
That was the report. That's all I got. I just report what I see, Craig. I don't come up with the story.
Who even would have reported that to you?
I just get the news and I just report it. That's all I have, Craig.
There's a lot of fake news out there. I know why people.
It's election year.
I know why people don't trust the media now. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN, Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. If all of the kings had their queens on the throne, we would pop champagne and raise a toast. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
So I was busy this week and didn't get to keep up with things much. Did Jordan Love sign a contract?
He did not.
No?
He did not.
Oh, I thought maybe I just missed it with like Summerfest and all the busy stuff going on.
While you're over here smiling and cheesing, I put it on the show sheet. Not the show sheet, the text message I've sent to you a couple times. Do you owe Jordan Love an apology?
Me?
And Goody an apology? I'm simply because when we had a conversation, and you heard it for a year on our show.
I'm the biggest Jordan Love guy you've ever met.
I'm just saying, we were thinking like $40 million, you know, for a contract for him like he was Daniel Jones, and he surpassed that. And that was on the show before a while where you compared my franchise quarterback, because he is mine now, to Daniel Jones. It's a little disrespectful, and I don't think you ever made amends to that.
No. I didn't do that. No, I didn't do that.
You were comparing him to Justin Fields, too.
No.
I remember.
I was accurate, and what I was explaining was that people were thinking last offseason that Daniel Jones got paid, you know, all that money, so then right away Jordan Love would get that money from the Green Bay Packers. And what I was saying was that because Daniel Jones got that money and wasn't of that level, it would be a startling reminder to franchises not to commit money before you know that you have your guy. And I was advising that people shouldn't expect that the Packers are just going to pay him when they weren't sure they had their guy because of what had happened with Daniel Jones. And that is exactly what we saw, is that the Packers did not pay Jordan Love. So, no, that's exactly what I was talking about at the time. And you can continue to take things out of context to try to play me out like you did at Summerfest, but that's exactly what happened.
I just listened, and I said, this is what I'm told. This is what the audio says. This is what the source told me, and they just told me I should address it.
You wrote grumpy old man.
That's what.
Did the source say I was a grumpy old man?
From the story,
No. Did they say I was a grumpy old man?
The source did not say you were a grumpy old man. But the story.
I was blocking shots. I was jumping around. I was having fun.
The story made it seem like you were a grumpy old man.
Women were missing shots, and I was like, you're not Angel Reese. You're Devil Reese.
Oh, wow.
I was clowning people. I was trolling. I was having a good time at Summerfest on Thursday night.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just letting you know that the message
I was not getting, letting just not letting the mainstream media continue to drag my name through the mud.
The way it was brought to me, to my attention, like, oh, guess what happened yesterday? You got to talk about this maybe on your show. That's what I was told. I was like, wait, what happened?
But you brought it to the grumpy old man spot, but I'm cool with that. So on Jordan Love, I still stand by the fact that by trading up for Jordan Love, the Packers cost themselves the opportunity to win potentially two Super Bowls, at least get to two Super Bowls.
I don't think it is anymore. What? I used to think that. I don't think it anymore because who's to say the Packers are going to draft a wide receiver? Who's to say Packers were actually going to put the pieces around
him? No, it didn't need to be a wide receiver. If it was anyone that was going to contribute then. We saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that draft draft an offensive tackle and a cornerback.
Yeah, like 13.
And those two guys helped lead them to the Super Bowl.
We had Lucas Van Ness, who really didn't contribute at all to our roster last year. We had Rashawn Gary, who his first season was basically a redshirt season where he was figuring things out as well. The Green Bay Packers don't – the plug-and-play for the – even this year with Jordan Morgan, I don't know how much Jordan Morgan is going to contribute on this team because I feel like he's going to be fighting for a starting job at right guard or left tackle with the Green Bay Packers. Nothing's going to be handed to him. The Green Bay Packers aren't drafting plug-and-play guys. The Packers are thinking about guys to contribute towards the future, and they ain't going to be a wide receiver. So
okay,
how much I want to feel like we could have drafted a wide receiver like a Justin Jefferson, even though he got drafted right before, but we could have drafted somebody that like a T. Higgins that could have helped us. It sounds good, but history would tell me that isn't what was going to happen.
Well, maybe it isn't what was going to happen, but if they did it, they would have had a chance to win. And you can't tell me that Luke Musgrave, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft didn't all have an impact on this team this year.
They all had a great impact on this team, but I will say this right now, as somebody who loves Aaron, they would not have had the same impact had Aaron Rodgers been a quarterback this year. A Tucker Kraft, a Jaden Reed, a Luke Musgrave would not have had the same impact because we still would have had some old guys on our team that Aaron Rodgers wanted to make sure he earned the trust in. Aaron Rodgers got to the point in his career, which I think is justified, is that he didn't have time to have people with training wheels on. He didn't have time for guys running wrong routes. Imagine through the first 8 weeks if those guys were in the same space, three receivers in the same area, what Aaron Rodgers would have did on the sideline, what he would have said to those kids. The development that they had was purely based off the fact that they got room to grow without being attacked by their starting quarterback.
Okay,
that is why they grew so much.
All right, Christian Watson, 41 catches, 611 yards, 7 touchdowns with Aaron Rodgers. With Jordan Love, 28 catches, 422 yards, 5 touchdowns.
Christian Watson's been very, very hurt.
He was hurt.
Very, very hurt this year.
Yeah, he was hurt. But I'm just saying, it's not like you're acting like Aaron Rodgers is freezing out rookies. He had 41 catches, 611 yards, and all those touchdowns with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, late in the season.
Seven touchdowns. He threw a bomb to him on the first play of the year that Christian Watson dropped.
Yeah, and then he didn't want to go back to him.
Do you want me to go through the targets, or do you want to just tell your narrative of like Aaron's gone, so you're going to make it seem like Christian, Aaron didn't do anything good ever
now? I want to see Christian Watson's targets week one after that happened, week two, week three, and week four.
Do you really want to?
I
want to
know. I'm curious. I'm curious because you're trying to defend Aaron Rodgers as if Aaron Rodgers.
No, I'm not trying to defend Aaron Rodgers.
You have a wide receiver in Romeo Doubs who said, "Yeah, you know, we did decent for a quarterback who didn't even talk to me. He didn't talk to a guy that turned out to be." To me, Romeo Doubs is going to be a very solid NFL receiver, reliable NFL receiver, and in big moments, he can step up for you. When you need a big play, he'll make that big play. He may not be ripping off 150-yard games every single week. He may not be a 1,300-yard wide receiver, a 12-touchdown receiver, but he's going to give you 600 yards per year. He's going to give you 50 catches per year, and he's going to give you 5 to 7 touchdowns per year. That's what he's going to give you.
Christian Watson was number 7 for Defensive Rookie of the Year. For Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Tell me, I wonder what week three, week four, week two, week three, week four, and week one was after he dropped that pass. I want to know how many more shots that Christian Watson got very early on in the season.
He had 4 targets in week one, 3 targets in week two, 3 targets in week three.
And then he got hurt or something like that, and he didn't play in week four?
No. He got hurt in week four. Yeah, and only had 1 target before he went out in week 4, and then he was hurt.
I'm just saying. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, and you know Aaron Rodgers, he wasn't looking back to him. I don't know how we got on this whole, you're talking about the growth. The Green Bay Packers, I am in the firm belief that it's not like the Green Bay Packers weren't there. We weren't right there on the goal line ready to get in. Aaron Rodgers didn't play well enough in playoff games at the end of his career with the Green Bay Packers, and that is the reason why we didn't go to a Super Bowl. That has nothing to do with the defense at that point. It doesn't have anything to do with Goody at that point as well. When you have an opportunity where your defense play spectacular against the 49ers, but offensively you can't get anything done, that's on you, Aaron Rodgers. That's on you. And so that's what it just comes down to, is at the end of Aaron Rodgers' tenure here in Green Bay, he was unable to make the plays in order for us to get to a Super Bowl.
Romeo Doubs, 42 catches in his 13 games for 425 yards his rookie year. His second year, played 17 games, had 59 catches for 674 yards.
A lot of big ones, too.
But he had a very similar year.
He had almost 20 more catches. Was it? With 20 more catches.
He had 17 more catches in four more games.
That's about on average.
You're saying, like, these guys made some big leap because Aaron was not talking to them and Jordan was. Like,
I believe Christian Watson
did not have a jump and Romeo Dobbs did not jump.
Christian Watson was
those other guys did, right?
To Jayden say Reed was Romeo Dobbs didn't have a jump, Craig, Romeo Dobbs was the safety blanket for this team. So, he was the reliable guy for this team.
He was in 2022 also as a rookie.
He wasn't a safety blanket? No, he wasn't.
So who was?
Probably Alan Lazard.
Right, but I'm saying he had 42 catches.
So what makes you think that us drafting an offensive lineman, let's be honest, us drafting a defensive player was going to help Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl his last two seasons?
If the team was better, they would have been more likely to win.
So how did the defense fail us against the 49ers in Aaron's last game as a Packer? How?
The special teams failed us.
No, but how did the defense fail us?
I'm not saying us. Right?
They gave up the drive to lose the game. They scored one touchdown in that game, Craig. That's pathetic.
A better team would have won the game, and I'm fine with it. It has worked out great.
The Packers did better. The Packers did better in his last playoff game, not his last game. But the Packers did better 2 years, two seasons later against the San Francisco 49ers, who are a better football team without Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think they did better.
Yes, they did 100% did better.
They both lost games they should have won. I mean, if you take out a block punt, the Packers would have beat the 49ers in that game at home. And the 49ers were terrible. And at the time, Brock Purdy was terrible. And, like, they should never have lost that game at home. It's a terrible job by in that game. I go back to LaFleur's game planning and Aaron missing Aaron Jones. Aaron missed a bunch of passes.
Aaron Rodgers was at the moments that we needed Aaron Rodgers to be at his best in the playoffs when it mattered to be able to.
It's not true. If you watch the game, he made so many big plays in so many moments.
Craig, we scored one touchdown in that game. Come on now. Come on now, Craig. He missed guys like you just said. Come on, Craig.
He didn't play great, but there were other reasons why they lost.
The game against the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
We had a lot of opportunities. Jair Alexander gave us our offense a lot. That defense gave our offense a lot of opportunities that game. We did not capitalize on that.
Aaron Rodgers played better than Tom Brady in that game.
Yeah, and then look at the end result. Tom Brady's team pulled it out.
Right, because he had a better team.
But Aaron Rodgers
had a better team.
Aaron Rodgers
played better than Tom Brady, and Tom Brady went to the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers didn't have the luxury. He couldn't throw all those interceptions the way Tom Brady and still win.
That's very true.
We will have our Palermo's picks coming up next. It's Sunday Karma. ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's that time.
Yes, it's finally here.
Craig makes his picks of the week.
You can bet the house on it.
Picks of the week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin, presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
I think you're wrong on that, Kyle. We'll talk about that on the air as well. But right now it is our Palermo's Picks brought to us by Palermo's Pizza. Palermo's Pizza has these things called pizza bowls now that are awesome. I got them the other day. I love it because it's so easy in the microwave. You just heat them up in the microwave 3.5 minutes and you're good. It's if you're low carb or keto, it's a way to have all the pizza because it's all the toppings with none of the crust and none of the other stuff. So obviously, if you love the crust, you love all the carbs of pizza like I do, that's a good fit. But when you're also in that mood for low carb, keto, quick, just fire it up in the microwave, maybe don't have time to preheat the oven and do the whole thing to make an amazing pizza, Palermo's has you covered. It is nothing but the toppings. They are pizza bowls. They're awesome. They got the multi-meat, the Italian-style meatball, the pepperoni, the supreme. Tons of protein in these things, up to 31 grams of protein in the servings and under 600 calories. It is a great, great fit. Palermo's raising the bar once again. They are Wisconsin's pizza, and they are also Wisconsin employer, community involved, so many different things. That's why we love Palermo's Pizza, all of their brands, including the Surfer Boy. I just picked up two new Surfer Boy pizzas this week, and love them all from Palermo's. All right, Palermo's picks. And the pick is going to be right now, somehow, has to be around the draft picks. So we got to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks and the NBA. You said to me, are the Bucks retooling things? What's going on with the Bucks?
No, I just, you know, I saw some things that I liked. I saw that the Milwaukee Bucks are looking to maybe shift their scheme and shift what their identity is defensively, and potentially, I'm assuming offense is always going to be Giannis and Dame, but defensively.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing, like you said, is Giannis and Dame, right? Like, we don't know what these two can be with an offseason, with health. And by the way, stop, people, with like, Giannis is okay for the Olympics, but he's not okay for the Bucks. Like, do you remember how long ago that was? I mean, Giannis is only going to be cleared and play in the Olympics if he's healthy.
You got to be a little nervous, though.
What?
You got to be a little nervous.
I mean, he plays basketball. He's a basketball player.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be a
little
nervous.
If he wasn't playing in the Olympics, he'd be playing. And do you think, and Giannis plays that hard and goes that hard with everything he does. I mean, he got hurt in a non-contact injury, right? I mean.
Yeah, you just, I mean, anybody gets a little nervous. I mean, that's all it is, just a little bit.
I know, but like the negativity that I've heard, you know, and I'm sure it's a small group on social media, but like, oh, he could play for Greece, but he can't play for the Bucks.
Well, that's stupid.
I mean, Giannis obviously was working so hard to come back and play for the Bucks. And, you know, and wasn't anywhere close to being cleared to play. And that's why a month later, I don't think he, maybe in the last week he's been cleared, but as of
they said, he's still not practicing.
Yeah, as a week ago, he still wasn't cleared. He was running, he's playing basketball, he's trying to get back. But come on now, let's not get crazy. And I mean, better not be questioning Giannis. But it's be excited. NBA draft this Thursday.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Bucks have a few picks.
We got two picks in the first 33. You got to get it right.
You think? You think your Bucks are going to pick both of those?
Oh, no. Please don't trade for a 32-year-old veteran.
Yeah?
Oh, gosh. You might as well go ahead. Just Craig, sign me up. I can be a water boy.
You're not trying to win a championship and go all in? You're trying to keep building future young guys?
I'm trying to get a mix. Yep. I want to get a mix of great. Get somebody that could be an instant impact rookie. Come on now, John Horst, who I saw playing pickleball. Almost charged him up like, who you drafting, John?
What about Ajax? He was one of those guys last year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's one.
But you gotta like
get
that
more
pick.
You got to get more. I like the second round picks.
Marjan?
I like the second round picks. Marjan, I got to take a big jump this year.
Yep.
Big season.
Well, it is a big week. Thanks, everyone, for being part of it today. Let's stay healthy, stay together, survive today, thrive tomorrow. Remember, don't settle. You have been listening to Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin. Kyle, send us out.
Peace.
This is ESPN Wisconsin and ESPNWisconsin.com.